You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
For decades, mainstream medicine view of gluten sensitivity was that you either have it or you don't. In other words, you either test positive for celiac disease, which indicates that you have a true allergy to gluten, or you test negative, so no need to avoid gluten-containing foods, such as wheat, rye, barley, oats, kamut, spelt, and a couple more. Well, however, today, from millions of people's complaints and ongoing research studies, gluten sensitivity symptoms aren't so black and white after all. It's not an all or nothing situation, and that there's actually a spectrum of gluten sensitivity. It's possible to have gluten symptoms, sensitivity symptoms, without having celiac disease, and this condition is now called non-celiac gluten sensitivity, NCGS. Today we have Dr. Mark Engelman, the founder and president of Engelman Health Institute and clinical consultant for Cyrex Laboratories. He is here to shed some insight about gluten sensitivity, how you can get an easy screening test to see if you're truly gluten sensitive or not. Welcome, Dr. Engelman. Great to have you here back at our show again.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
You know what? Before we jump into the details of gluten sensitivity, can you just give us a description on the differences between a wheat gluten allergy and a sensitivity or even an intolerance?
Yeah. So, a couple things. So number one, when people talk about allergy, you know, then they conflate that with sensitivity, and so it's, I think, sort of confusing for people about what's an allergy and when do we go after things and what kind of effects do we have. So the main one that people are used to thinking about it in allergy, and I sort of think about it that way as well, is what's called an immediate sensitivity reaction, and that's when you eat something like a peanut if you're allergic to it, and immediately your lips swell and your throat, you know, tightens or tingles and so forth and so on. And that's related to a particular kind of antibody makes release of histamine, basically. Well, that's why everybody uses antihistamines for allergies and for allergies from pollen and foods and so forth and so on, itching and scratching. So the question is, when people talk about wheat, is there any such thing as a wheat, quote, allergy? And it turns out that what we've been talking about most of the time with wheat, and when people talk about wheat, they sort of automatically think about gluten, which they should. Then they start thinking about celiac disease. And turns out that celiac disease is a genetic predisposition for people who have, if they eat gluten and that gluten happens to get across their gut barrier, then there's a good chance that they'll have a serious inflammatory condition of the gut, and they won't be able to absorb food and so forth and so on, have other symptoms. But that's the gut symptoms. So it turns out there are a lot of other things in a wheat kernel other than just gluten, and then gluten has a lot of different variations of gluten. So it's much more complex than just gluten as celiac disease. That's a small percentage now that what we found of people who actually have various reactions to other things other than gluten or other than having celiac disease that are related to gluten sensitivity or other wheat proteins, which is why this new array for Cyrex is a real game changer.
So you know what? There's so many different ways of looking at this, absolutely, just as you're saying. One of the things that I understand about gluten intolerance is that you just, the individual doesn't have the enzyme to digest the protein. And because you can't digest it, then you end up having symptoms from it. But that doesn't mean you've got inflammatory autoimmune disruption in the gut, which is clearly what celiac is. But what you're saying is that there's also other forms of proteins that are in grains, grass grains, wheat, barley, rye, grass grains that have gluten and let's say gliadin in it. There's other proteins that you can be sensitive to that you're not even aware of. And that's where
that's correct.
Cyrex has come out with a new test to tell you, to show you whether you're sensitive to that grain or not.
Well, you know, you and I have both had people that will tell you that they eat wheat, you know, and they immediately don't feel good. I mean, usually they have bloating and some of them have explosive diarrhea afterwards and so forth. And, you know, the theory has usually been, well, that's a local gluten reaction. Well, most of the reactions that we're talking, I mean, there are some reactions that are inflammatory to the gut based on gluten. But it turns out that most of the long-lasting or the effects of gluten are particular antibodies that don't, you know, really do anything right away, so that you don't get diarrhea and you don't get swell up and so forth and so on, because these are antibodies that take longer and they're sort of insidious in what they do with attacking, maybe, you know, cross-reacting, attacking the thyroid gland for thyroid disease or arthritis or losing your hair or, you know, all the different autoimmune ways that people cannot feel good. So it seems like probably the proteins that are not gluten, proteins and peptides that are not gluten are probably more responsible for the people that go, man, every time I eat wheat or spaghetti or whatever, I immediately have to run to the bathroom or I start cramping up like crazy. That probably really is an local allergic reaction in the gut, like the one we talked about with the face swelling, but in the gut, because there's a lot of cells in the gut that immediately start putting out histamine, and the next thing you know, everything dilates up and you're uncomfortable, and then water gets into your bowel and you have a watery diarrhea afterwards. So that really probably is more a true antigen, and that probably is usually not from gluten, but one of the other proteins in wheat, which we now are measuring.
What type of proteins, Dr. Engelman, what are they called?
You know, there's a bunch of different ones. There's probably like 10 or 15 different ones, but there's what are called farinins and serpins and globulins and enzymes, amylase enzymes and inhibitors. But which Dr. Bojdani, who's the genius behind the lab, has put together to see if someone has antibodies to those. So we have two different new tests for that. One's called non-gluten proteins, and that's A, and that measures two or three different things. And then there's B that measures two or three different things. And the other issue with those is that even though some of them can cause allergy type symptoms, they also can cause cross reaction with actually gluten. And so then you start having, your immune system goes, well, that looks a lot like gluten, so I'm going to start doing all the miserable things that I can do by getting my gluten activation and start having autoimmune things. So they're pretty interchangeable. So, and a lot of these things are that way.
So let's talk a little bit about the new test that you have. I mean, the Cyrex has, you know, Cyrex, I love that company, the laboratory, because Aristo Vergiani, he is definitely the man when it comes to the science of immunosciences. So I'd like to know, and I'm sure that the listeners would like to know more in detail about array number 3. I think it's called 3X. How is that unique?
Well, 3X is just, we had 3, but we didn't have specifically the non-gluten proteins. We now do. And we also have a particular, let me just put your listeners. So here's the deal. Gluten is this great, big, long protein that's wound all over the place. and it has a particular configuration that's difficult to digest, and it also has specific amino acids in it that are very difficult for digestive enzymes to cut, you know, in a place to cut things. So when I think about gluten, I think about a great big long string. That's gluten. And then when I think about the what people measure, what they measure is antibodies to the way we cut that string down to try and be able to digest it completely and be able to absorb those amino acids. And so every protein is, all proteins are, is just a bunch of amino acids strung together, and that makes a protein. And if you don't have a lot of them, then it's a peptide. And but we can't absorb anything that's more than about two or three amino acids. We just don't have the capacity to do that. So we have to break things down into these very, very small elements of that larger piece of spaghetti or string, and then we cut it into a piece, and then we cut that piece into a piece, and then hopefully eventually we get it cut down into its two or three, maybe at the most four amino acids that can be absorbed by our intestine to then take those amino acids and use them again when we want to start building our own protein. So they're just basically raw materials that we need to absorb so we can then decide what we want to do with them when we go to build our own proteins, whether it's enzymes or collagen or whatever it is. So when people think about gluten and then they hear this gliadin and then they hear these other peptides or proteins, they go, well, wait a minute, is that gluten or what is that, a different thing from gluten? It's very confusing for people. And the way these tests are done is they take the main large pieces of string, the way we cut up gluten with our enzymes, that are the most commonly problematic. And that's what we usually measure. But it turns out that there's probably 100 to 1,000 different little pieces of the way people digest gluten to make it smaller and smaller and smaller to be able to be absorbed. Most people test, a Cyrex tests for more than anybody else, but that's what we test, is the most common ones to be, you know, the way we break down the gluten. But the thing that your listener needs to understand is that the gluten that gets broken down, and the other thing is no human being can 100% break down gluten. It's impossible. We don't have the enzymes to do it. That's why people are talking about gluten as potentially dangerous, because if you can't break down something and it can't get absorbed by the intestinal cells to be used, then you hope what happens is it just goes right on by and ends up in your toilet in the stool, right? But that's assuming that your gut is functioning as the barrier that it should, which is it's not supposed to let large things through. And if it does let large things through, they're seen as a foreign body. And our immune system only has about three or four ways to go after what it perceives as a foreign body, whether it's a bacteria, a virus, a parasite, or a piece of gluten, you know. And so it acts as if it's a foreign body that has to be gotten rid of, and that starts this inflammatory chain of events, which ends up with a not very good outcome. So I think for most people, I don't think they understand what we're talking about. So you have to have the gluten. We don't break down gluten. The better we break it down, the smaller the pieces. But as long as we don't have, quote, leaky gut or an opening at some particular period of time that allows those big pieces to go into the immune system, it's fine. We don't have a problem with it. It's when that gets across that gut barrier that we see that as, well, I've never seen that before. I guess I better treat it like a bacteria or something horrible. So does that help?
Yes, thank you. Quick question. When you do when the Cyrex does the array, is it the antibody you're testing for? It's a blood test, isn't that correct? And it's an antibody, yes, that you look for the non-gluten proteins and gluten proteins. Isn't that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so then let's say that the individual, you know, majority of the population, at least in my patients, they have what's called gut permeability issues, leaky gut. And whether it's coming from heavy metal toxicity, infections, food poisoning,
stress,
drinking chlorinated water, fluoridated water, you name it, poisons, pesticides, etc. We all have some form of inflammation disruption in some time, at some time or another. So let's say that then they come to me. We take them off of all, we haven't done your Cyrex test yet. We take them off of all gluten and all types of gluten grains, any type of grains, actually grass grains. And then we get the Cyrex test. And most of them, if their gut is not permeable and it's a healthy gut with a really good mucose barrier, with a great microbial diversity in the gut, et cetera, then I'm assuming what their array will show that they have a negative for that sensitivity.
It'll show that those antibodies that may have been there at one time
will disappear.
So what we do at Cyrex and what good labs do is they check a bunch of people, quote, normal people, whatever that is supposed to be. And then they look and say, they check all these things that we check, and then they see like 300 people. And most people have been exposed to most everything. So they have a certain number of sort of background antibodies that are just there hanging around. And if the thing comes back again and it's a problem, then their antibodies will get jacked up quickly. So if somebody cut, and so that's sort of the bump in the middle when you look on one of the graphs where most people gather, that's their sort of background normal antibodies. If somebody tests higher than that, and then that shows up as the test is, yes, I'm more reactive, I'm making more antibodies than the average of these 300 people who probably were exposed to the same thing I was exposed to at one time. So that's increased reactivity, and if it's not so bad, it's seen as equivocal or suspicious. And then if it is pretty significant, then it's seen as positive or out of range. So, but the most of the antibodies live about, I just to make it easy, about 30 days. So if you go off something, let's say somebody has gluten issues and they're significant and they make a lot of antibodies and they go off for a month, 50% of those antibodies will still be around. And if they go off for 2 months, 25% will be around. And in 3 months, 12.5% will still be around. So somebody who goes off of gluten that has been having symptoms, whatever the symptoms are, achy joints, you know, gut issues or whatever, and they go off for 2 weeks and go, I don't feel any different. Well, now you know why, because you've got to give these things a chance. So then if you test and they've been off something for 3 months or so, they will have a, you know, negative. They'll test, you know, normal, let's say normal, which is sort of like everybody else. But the knowledge is for things like, for most things, and it's very much like vaccination. Why do you vaccinate someone? You vaccinate them so that they get exposed to whatever it is you're trying to get them to fight off, and they build up antibodies to it, and then it goes away, but those antibodies are around, but what always stays around, it seems like, or for a long time, is these memory cells. And those memory cells are the cells that just hang around and go, it may have taken me a couple days or a week the first time I saw this to make antibodies, but believe me, it won't take that amount of time the next time. And that's what vaccinations are, and these are essentially vaccinations. You, if you have, make antibodies to it, if it's seen as a foreign body, you make the antibodies, then if you go off it, they gradually, the antibody levels go away, but the memory cells stick around. So if you reintroduce it and it was a problem, those memory cells go, aha, I've seen this before. It's not going to take me long to figure this out to get those antibodies back up in a hurry.
So in your practice, then, you once it's discovered that they have a sensitivity, you recommend them to completely eliminate that out of their diet for life?
You know, I do for gluten and dairy. And the big thing I think for your listeners is that, you know, gluten's problematic. I mean, you know, breakdown products of gluten, certainly if you have celiac disease, it is. But the big deal with gluten, particularly gluten, is those breakdown products from gluten, all the gliadins and all the other things, when they start getting broken down, they look so much like our own tissue that we get, you know, we make cross-reactive antibodies, what's called molecular mimicry, where our immune system says, gee whiz, I'm going after this, but that looks a lot like this. So I think I'll just go after both. And the perfect example is Hashimoto's thyroiditis and gluten. And I bet you, I don't know in your practice, but I know in my practice when somebody comes in with Hashimoto's and they're eating gluten and I run an array 3 on them, well over 50% of them have gluten sensitivity issues, and I think it's probably as high as 70%. Why?
I'm right there with
because
you.
Because, you know, that little piece of gluten breakdown looks just like thyroid peroxidase, which is one of the enzymes that allows me to make thyroid. And it looks a lot like a lot of other things. That's the problem. And dairy looks a lot like, you know, dairy proteins, the caseins and the wheys and the milk butyrophilin. It's scary how much some of those look like your lining of your nerves, myelin. Scary when you put them together. And if you look at the statistics of people who make antibodies for some of the dairy proteins, specific dairy proteins, their rate of getting multiple sclerosis is significantly higher than the average population. Why?
Right.
Oh, they look a lot alike. And for people who have family histories of autoimmune disease, what I tell them is, I hate to tell you this, but your immune system is not a Harvard graduate. Because Harvard graduates can figure out one thing from another. But your immune system, unfortunately, has a tough time. So when one thing starts to look like another thing, it goes, oh, that looks a lot like that. I think I'll go after that, too. And the next thing you know, you got the gluten or the dairy thing, but you're also reacting to your own tissue. That's autoimmunity.
That's right. That's right. I, you know, in my first book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, I wrote a lot about food. That was like the biggest factor to reduce allergy symptoms. And gluten and dairy were the first two foods. And I'm the same as you are. I do not recommend people to eat gluten and dairy. Even if they stop eating it, don't go back eating it because it can cause other issues. It may not be as strong, but it can cause other because of the cross-activity or the molecular mimicry. Thank you so much. You know what? We can talk so much more about all this, but I do want to make sure that we share how we can learn more about this amazing test that everyone can do. Is it something that they can do by themselves? Do they have to go to a doctor get it ordered? And where can they get it?
The people that are listening should go on joincyrex.com to get information. And the test needs to be ordered by a practitioner, and that's a Cyrex practitioner. It's easy; they just sign up, and then they get the kits, and then it's a little amount of blood. It's not really very much blood, and then they order it and get it done, and then they get an interpretation, and their practitioner should sit down and go over it with them. The other, just a couple, two quick things is. One, there are a lot of other things that are measured in this that are not measured in other, you know, other gluten-type things. And so some of them are these non-gluten proteins, and then there's a new gluten breakdown product that leads to leaky gut all by itself. And then there are... you know, other enzymes, it turns out that we are now, a lot of food companies are putting one of the enzymes that's called transglutaminase. They let bacteria manufacture it, and they put it in food, and it holds food together but it also changes the way food looks. So you could have foods that normally you wouldn't have a problem with, and this enzyme works on them, and now all of a sudden you're allergic to them or making antibodies. We measure, that's called microbial transglutaminase. So look up the, it's fascinating stuff. Well, you know, this is what you do. You were at that conference. It doesn't get any better than this. If you got, if you're smart, then, and you love, you know, medicine and immunology, you gotta love this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the, definitely the breakthroughs that medicine and laboratories, and definitely Cyrus is a the front of all of that when it comes to the gliadin, gluten sensitivities, and many, many other type of immune reaction testing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Engelman. Great show. You know, please connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. And if you need more guidance and you want to dig deeper into your chronic health issues, give me a buzz. My information is on my website, drsuzanne.com. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.